Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Press Republican's Press Pass Podcast, a product of the Press Republican newspaper here in Plattsburgh, New York, in Clinton County, in the great North Country of New York State. I'm Editor-in-Chief Joe LaTempleo, and with me today is my trusty night editor, Ben Rowe. How are we doing?
I'm doing well, Joe.
Good. Normally, we'll start off with a little story about something quirky that I did during the week, usually grocery shopping. But we're going to dispense with that because we have some special guests here today. We have Melinda Clark and Carrie Charette from HCR, a home health care service provider here in Clinton County. And they are going to talk about the services they provide, who they are, where they're from, and how long they've been here, and all kinds of things about the world of home health care. And we're happy to have them here today because, Ben, you and I were talking about we want to branch this podcast out a little bit. So it's nice to get a chance to speak to someone who works in the community, who's invested in the community, and to find out what's going on with them.
Well, get a few other people behind the mic.
That too. Carrie, we'll start with you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about HCR and when they started in Clinton County?
Sure. So HCR is a company based originally out of Rochester, started back in 1978. It was a woman-owned business, and Louise Warner, who founded it, is still our board chair. And then around 2010, just with the way that the healthcare industry is, they really saw that they needed to expand and have those administrative pieces kind of umbrellaed in one area and expand the home care out. Having the small, kind of almost like a mom and pops, the public health, it was very hard to stay competitive in each individual county, and so that's really what they were looking at when they started to expand in 2010. And then from 2011 to 2012 is when we started providing service here in Clinton County. I worked for the Clinton County Health Department at that time, so I had been there for 10 years, having quite a bit of home care experience behind me. And we were one of 13 counties that were brought on board around that kind of 2010 to 2013 timeframe.
Transitioning from county to private.
And what had happened at that time was, in order to start a business in another county, you had to have the certificate of need. And during that transition period, you had to purchase a current certificate of need or another business that was already up and running. And during our process here in Clinton County from that 2011 to 2012, the governor lifted that mandatorium, so then anybody could apply for a certificate of need. It didn't have to be buying an existing home care agency. So that's when we decided to kind of throw our hat in the ring to pick up additional contiguous counties, which then formed regions. And for us, it was the North Country region, having now seven counties. So we were able to expand that without purchasing additional licenses. What was nice about here in Clinton County, we already had a really good existing home care entity under the umbrella of public health. So most of those employees came with the transition of HCR. So there was a very minimal disruption in any care. So it was really seen like more on the administrative side. The patients never felt it at all. It was the same people continuing the same care, but what we got was, a really nice, robust electronic medical record, the culture of HCR, and really we were in the business of home care. So that was one of the nice things to bring to the residents of Clinton County, was that HCR as a company very much was an expert in home care, rather than being umbrellaed under, public health or the local government, which has a lot of things under it. So to be able to just very specifically focus on home care and taking care of the patients here in our community.
Okay. I remember when the transition occurred, it was a little rough at first. There was a lot of people in the county that didn't want to go to a private company. They feared they would lose the services. The service would suffer a little bit. But that, like you're saying, it seems to have gone pretty smoothly.
It went very smoothly. We actually ended up almost doubling our census. And just in that first year, with a lot of the things that we were able to utilize for tools that HCR brought to the community, as I mentioned, the electronic medical record, a lot of the education pieces, just really the focus on the quality of the care, we were able to reduce the hospitalization rate from 42% down to 21% for the patients that we were caring for in the community. Again, it wasn't because we had different people caring for them. It was a lot of that education opportunity that we hadn't been able to have before. We provided great care as, you know, a home care in public health, but this really gave us another step up to provide an elevated level of care.
Melinda, maybe you can explain a little bit about exactly what the service is that HCR provides.
Well, we certainly offer a gamut of different services. We offer skilled nursing, physical therapy, occupational therapy, dietary needs, home health aids. So essentially what procedures and care that can be provided in a hospital inpatient setting can easily be continued in a home care setting.
Okay, so if I go in for a surgery and I need to recover, is that the type of thing you do? You would go in and help with that?
Certainly. If there's a procedure that has been predetermined for a particular individual, it can be a part of the discharge planning for this individual to get linked up with our services.
Okay. Does it matter if you have insurance or not? Or
I'll speak to that.
Yes.
So just to kind of just back up just a little bit, under the home care entity, we have three different lines of business. The part that I oversee as the director of patient services is considered the certified home healthcare entity. The part that Melinda oversees as the director of patient services is our licensed agency. With the licensed agency really housing our home health aides and our PCAs, which are personal care aides. The home care side has the skilled pieces like the nursing, the physical therapy. We'll also incorporate medical social worker and some other, you know, specialized programs to provide care to the patient. So there are a couple little different nuances of each line of business. And then our third line of business is our care management. Jesse Frenier is the director for that line, and that's more our social determinants of health. They'll help with, it's more our Medicaid population. They'll do more of those social aspects like getting Medicaid applications filled out, helping with, you know, food and financial assistance. They'll even go with them to doctor's appointments. But again, it's more our Medicaid population. And then with home care, we pretty much accept any insurance. I mentioned we chatted a little bit right before the podcast started. More than 50% of our patients are Medicare, and that is a fully covered entity in home care as long as they meet requirements. What you describe, the surgery, absolutely. That would be, we get most of our referrals from CBPH is one of our biggest referral sources because it is the major hospital here in Clinton County. And then we have a lot of other private insurances and the Medicare HMOs and the Medicaid managed long-term programs. Usually we find a way. Patients, if they don't have insurance, they usually are already working on that in the hospital aspect, if that's where they're coming from, helping them get connected with insurance. But for the most part, everybody who comes to us usually has some type of insurance. But they can do private pay. If they, for some reason, didn't meet some of the requirements that their insurance outlines in order for them to receive home care, they also have that option as well.
Yeah, I was curious because last August I had both knees replaced, and which is a pretty big surgery, both at the same time. And I was thinking, geez, do I go to a rehab facility? Do I get somebody to come in? You know, I wasn't sure how to navigate that. I was in the hospital for 3 or 4 days and then went home and my wife cared for me. I didn't need it. But is that the type of scenario mm-hmm. we're talking mm-hmm. about.
Absolutely. Yeah, you should have called us. We'd have been happy to come out.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Our therapists absolutely love joints. They're like, they'll say to me, like, oh, that's my jam. You know, send me a joint. So any total joints, they love to go out and torture.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. And when it comes to medical procedures and how they all work, I mean, I'm sure there's some entity that says, yes, this person can have this service. No, this person can't have that service. But I'm sure you have ways to deal with all that.
Yeah, and we have to, you know, follow Department of Health guidelines. And then the next set of guidelines then is the insurance guidelines and what the insurance is dictating that they will cover for services. But essentially, if a patient has, medication changes, even if they have a chronic disease process, like we call it the triple threat, we have COPD, which is the chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, heart failure, and diabetes seem to be the big three that we get a lot, along with some of our more high-tech cases where we have wounds or infections and we need IV antibiotics and more complex wound care. There's a lot that, back in the day, I don't want to age myself, but I used, when I worked at the hospital, things that we would do in more of a monitored setting, like an ICU or on a cardiac floor, we are now seeing in home care. So the acuity of the patient is significantly gone up in all of the years that I've been in home care. So when I first started in home care, they were looking for, anybody could come in. Now we really are looking for that med surge experience or a hospital experience. We do new grads. We have new grads that come in, but they get an extended orientation. So, they really need a lot of either orientation or a lot of robust experience coming into home care because the patients are so complex. And them being in their homes, we can't just yell down the hallway and say, hey, can you help me out or can you come check out this patient? So it's pretty autonomous out there. But at the same time, you're using every skill that you've ever learned in school, whether it be, nursing or therapy driven in the home care setting. And it's a great setting to work in because you get to be really creative with that and think outside the box because you don't always have all those tools and personnel available to you at that time.
Yeah. Okay.
That was going to be one question I was going to bring up is how home health care has, even in the past decade, changed and grown. It seems like there's kind of a push to, as you said, offer more services at home to kind of be comfortable and, be able to be treated at home versus going to a medical facility. And so kind of what has been, mm-hmm. through technology or how has that kind of grown over the years?
It's grown quite a bit. And like I said, there's a lot of patients that, 20 years ago, we would not have provided those services to in the home. And now we are. Really, the goal is to keep the patients from going into the hospital. That's our main goal. That's usually our patients' main goal is they don't want to return to the hospital. Not that they don't get great care at the hospital, but then it's the same place everybody goes when they're sick.
Nobody wants to be in a hospital.
Yeah. So you're kind of leaving yourself open for those other, potential infections. And during COVID, that was, particularly patients didn't want to be there because you're more isolated, your family members couldn't come and visit you, but we continued to provide care to those patients that had COVID in the home. It was a little more challenging.
I was going to say, that must have been quite interesting. Yeah,
and how our staff had to, gown up and ungown and take, put their personal protective equipment on and take it back off and, following a strict protocol that we had and caring for those patients. But we continue to provide that service in the home and with the goal still being to keep them out of the hospital.
Well, actually, that was going to be one of my other questions was, to talk a little bit about how, COVID is kind of an elephant in the room. Is that what was the experience being in this business when all of that went down? What was it like?
I mean, initially it was, I think we had the struggle that every healthcare entity did was getting enough personal protective equipment to make sure that we were keeping our staff safe. Here in Clinton County, we are so fortunate to have the emergency services that we have. They were a great partner for us. Somehow how the equipment was dispersed through the state wasn't always user-friendly or didn't get to certain places in a timely fashion. But here, we have a great partner with the emergency services, and they were great about, you know, making sure we had additional N95 masks and the gowns and the gloves, and a lot of that stuff was on back order for a long time. And our, you know, administrative team worked diligently trying to go through every vendor possible, and it might not have been the same medical supply vendor that we went through before. We just really were sourcing out where could we get that. And I think, you know, Melinda's, with her having the home health aides, you know, we still needed to provide that personal care to the patients. And, you know, they, same thing, they had that same challenge. They had
the
same
procedure, the same, you know, recommended protocols in place to provide that level of care. And from a home health aide perspective, some of these aides were in the home anywhere between 2 to 6 hours, okay, you know, fully garbed in PPE so that they could appropriately protect themselves and still provide a high quality care to our patients in the community.
How big is the staff?
For home health aides?
Yeah.
Or just
for HCR in this area?
For HCR, we employ about 800 employees. Wow. We're in 25 counties across upstate New York. Divided into 4 regions. So we're here in the North Country region. We have the several other counties, St. Lawrence, Franklin, Clinton, Essex, Warren, Washington, and Hamilton County. And then we have our Catskills region. So there's counties there. And then Central New York, which is around kind of our Syracuse area. And then in Rochester, we call it our Finger Lakes region, the counties that are contiguous there to Rochester.
Now, do those 800 or so employees, do they work in one region, or do they move around, or like is there like a Clinton County group or an Essex County group? Mm-hmm. How's that work?
So that's our whole, that's our, you know, support staff office, as well as our field staff that include nurses, therapists, our home health aides, mm-hmm, dietitians, speech therapy, occupational therapy, social workers. Here in Clinton County, skilled staff wise, as far as nursing, therapy, social workers, we have about 50 employees in our region. And I know Melinda's has several home health aides as well.
Yes, I'm working with about 25 aides at this point.
Okay, from this area.
Okay.
So the home health aide might be in Peru one day, they might be in Champlain the next day?
Well, we try very hard to provide our patients with continuity of care. And so when we're developing a schedule with a patient and the aide, we're looking at aide availability, we're looking at location, we're trying to keep our aides as centralized to their home as possible, with the intention of kind of branching out a little bit around their residence and then kind of returning home to their home base at the end of the day. So we're not trying to, you know, have them jaggedly all over the county. We try to find as much of a consistent route for that individual and for our patients.
Okay. How long would a patient typically get home health care?
It would depend. So if they're, you know, in the certified home health agency and they're receiving nursing and therapy services, it's going to depend on their diagnosis, what their skilled need is. If it's a wound, that's usually the best example, is it's kind of depending on how quickly that wound heals, how in depth it is as far as the treatment to it. So it might be something that's a smaller wound will be heal quicker versus a larger wound that we might have to keep them on for several months. So we do have that opportunity to what we call recertify patients. They're usually, initially we plan out a 60-day clinical episode, and we have to work under physician orders. So we've got to have a doctor that's willing to sign orders, collaborate with us, answer questions if we see there's a discrepancy in a medication, or if we see the wound that is deteriorating. And we're going to call and look for them to collaborate with us on what else can we do to get this wound healed. And, you know, payer sometimes makes a difference. Typically, if we have a Medicare patient, though, we have a little bit more latitude. If it's someone who has Parkinson's or a neurologic related diagnosis, there are times, depending on insurance, we can do a maintenance program with them with our therapist. So it's really individualized to each patient. They could be a very short episode. If it's a total knee that, you know, we got in service and our plan is to transition to them to outpatient, we will only have them two to 4 weeks.
Right.
Again, it's, you know, if it's a patient who has heart failure, and whether it's a new or pre-existing diagnosis that maybe they just had an exacerbation, we depends what we need to teach them. Maybe they need a lot of education. Maybe they've had this condition and they know they have these exacerbations and they're well informed and know the signs and symptoms. We might not have them as long. So it's really tailored to the patient and what the patient needs. As far as, you know, Melinda's with her home health aid program, the payer is a little bit different, but I'll let her explain how that works.
So we typically deal strictly with managed long-term care insurance companies, so Nacentia, VA, Fidelis, and our patients are usually with us for a long time.
Okay.
We have patients that have been with us actively now for several years. So once we have the same recertification period that Carrie had mentioned, but we just continue to provide the service unless there's been a significant change in the patient where they need a higher level of care than what we can provide in the home, or they wish to discharge based on other circumstances within, you know, their living arrangements. But for the most part, once we ingrain an individual into the licensed agency, they stay with us and we continue to provide that level of service until further notice.
So a lot of these patients in your home health aides, they're developing, I'm sure, meaningful relationships.
Absolutely, yes. Sometimes our home health aides spend more time with their patients than what they do with their own family.
Yeah.
And so the bond and the relationship that gets formed is very ingrained in the day-to-day operations that they do. And, you know, they're providing a significantly high level of care on a routine basis.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, I imagine many of the patients are elderly, and to have this kind of service in your life is a big deal. And we've talked about it before, you know, you go through life, nobody wants to think about these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just, everything's fine, but when the time comes, you know, you need professionals to help you through it. That's got to be a big part of the job for you guys, isn't it?
It is, and we do a lot of long-term planning with these individuals. Our average age of our clients is about 75.
Okay.
We do provide service from infancy, especially in Clinton County, from infancy to, you know, I think we have an individual in service that's 110.
Wow.
Right now. But what's nice is with having the three lines of business, we can work very collaboratively with each other and internally refer back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So where most of Melinda's clients in the licensed agency will be on long term, we also kind of internally contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's a need for a short term home health aide for a client that, you know, just had a recent hospitalization and they're deconditioned and they need a little bit of help with that bathing and the dressing and maybe a meal prep, we will do an internal contract and maybe put a home health aide in for a few weeks for, you know, maybe a couple hours a week just to kind of help that patient get over the hump while they're working with physical therapy and working with nursing to get a little bit stronger. And then, you know, also implementing our social workers or maybe utilizing Jesse's team in the care management, depending on the payer, to help with what are the other programs out there. And we do have a good partnership with other community-based organizations, and we work a lot with Office for the Aging. And just really pulling all of the resources that are available in the community to help support and kind of just, you know, make the patient very much the center of the care. Because we may not have all the tools, Melinda's team might not have all the tools, mm-hmm. Jesse's team might not, but as a community, and that's really what it's about, is providing care to these individuals that are community members. And so, you know, it's not an all one size fits all. It is very specific to each patient, but, you know, we don't have a lot in healthcare because we, you know, do struggle with capacity as any healthcare entity. So we do really rely on those partnerships in the community to kind of pull everything together to help support that patient, keep them out of the hospital, and keep them home for as long as possible. They, you know, really don't want to have to go into a nursing home or an assisted living. If that's what they need to do for their safety, then we will help them to do that. But for as long as we can keep them independent, or at least independent enough with a caregiver or other supports in the home, that's really our goal.
Yes, very important service, no question. So maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you're facing now and expect to face in the future.
Definitely staffing is is one of those challenges, and not unique to HCR, not unique to healthcare, not unique to really any industry.
That's right. That's right.
You know, like many many other businesses, you have to think smarter about how you're utilizing your resources, finding efficiencies where you can, because I don't think anybody is in a situation where they're overstaffed.
No.
So, you know, we definitely are always looking for individuals that bring those strengths that we're looking for, whether it be a nurse, a therapist, a home health aide. Mm-hmm. We stay very competitive with, you know, our salaries that we offer. We do mileage reimbursement. We also do retention. We call it retention bonus. A lot of times you'll hear sign-on bonus, but this is really a retention bonus after a new person has been hired and they've been with us a certain period of time. They get, you know, kind of a lump sum of money, and then the next, you know, goal is they get a little bit more. So over the course of a period of time, because they've stayed with us, they get that retention bonus. We also do a really nice referral bonus. So if we have employees working with us and they refer somebody that then stays with us, they also get that referral bonus as well. And most of our staff, our clinical staff are fantastic, and they're really thinking about, who do I want to, you know, follow? Who do I want to be my peer and work beside me? Because healthcare is not easy work. It's challenging work. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest things, we get feedback when we do surveys within our own employees, their main reason for staying in home care is job satisfaction. You get to be in a patient's home and it's an instant gratification. It can be something so small that it's part of your job, but you get to see that difference that made for that patient in their home and allowing them to stay there. That's the most rewarding thing to be able to see. And the flexibility. I mean, you can basically make your own schedule if you have appointments. Or for me, when I started, my kids were really little. I was able to go to the school and go to their events because, you know, of course they plan stuff right in the middle of the day. You know, those sporting activities, but just having that flexibility. And I loved feeling like I, like, own these, you know, this caseload and these patients, and being able to really create my schedule and build that rapport with those patients was really rewarding.
How do you recruit? I mean, because people in healthcare, you know, they go to school, they get certified, they get their degrees or whatever. A lot of them would go to a hospital or a doctor's office or some kind of facility. How does HCR recruit these people?
I mean, we utilize, you know, Indeed, our recruitment team. They do a lot of sourcing through that and LinkedIn. But we also, we've even had new graduates from Clinton Community College. We've gone there and spoke to, you know, their senior graduating class. We've had their students. I know Melinda's, she's gone over to CV Tech.
Mm-hmm. And most recently working with establishing relationships with our local high schools, and really kind of getting to those individuals that are getting ready to make lifelong choices about right. their careers and educating them that this is an option that they have readily available to them. So working on partnerships there, job fairs, we're doing online events, you know, kind of open interviews, anything at this point that, you know, we can really kind of think outside the box in terms of recruitment efforts and, you know, what we do on a routine basis, as Carrie mentioned, having that one-on-one interaction, I think it sets us apart from most other entities because, and that was one of the reasons why I enjoyed home care so much is because from a nursing perspective, I know that I have this one individual that I'm responsible for taking care of during this duration of time. Mm-hmm. There's not any magnitude of you know, other individuals needing my assistance at that point in time. It's I'm physically here with you and I'm here to serve you. So that increases the quality of care and one-on-one contact that we have with our patients.
Okay. So is it a case of like somebody's coming out of school as a nurse or whatever, of you saying, hey, have you heard of this? Hear what we do? And they're like, oh, no, I didn't thought of that. Or are they in tune to all the options?
Sometimes they are, sometimes not. That's why we started a few years ago. We always are reached out to by other entities because they're looking for the clinical experience that they need to fulfill their requirements. But then a few years ago, we really started being more proactive in talking to like nursing schools. And one of my physical therapists is a clinical manager, and she also does talks to the like college students, to occupational therapy and physical therapy students at the college level when they're getting ready to graduate and make those choices about where in healthcare do they want to go. So I think over the years there has become more education around home care, because I always said when I first came into home care, I'm like, this is like the best kept secret. Like nobody knows well, that this exists.
That's what I was wondering.
Exactly. And so, you know, we have promoted it out at the colleges to let them know that this is an option. And like I said, we do take students. We have students come for clinical experience, so they get to ride along with whether it be a nurse or a therapist and see what that's like. And each school is a little bit different what their requirement is. Sometimes it might be only that one day. Sometimes, you know, it's a few weeks of coming one day a week. But we do really encourage, you know, the student experience so they can be exposed to home care and what it is.
It is very interesting. I actually did home care one day for a story back in the 80s, late 80s, I think it was. The county asked me, they said, we want to showcase the service. Would you mind riding along with the caseworkers one day? And I did. And we went down to Keysville. And it was fascinating. It was really interesting because, like you said, the relationships. Mm-hmm. There were elderly couple down in the Keysville area. They couldn't wait to see them. They were so happy when they got there. Mm-hmm. They fed them. It was really an intimate experience type mm-hmm. of thing. And you can tell then, I could tell then, that it really is a valuable service that's provided and needed throughout the region. How many more people are you looking to hire?
We will always hire the person that is a good fit for our organization. But, you know, we could use several more nurses. Again, there's always going to be patients that need service, especially, you know, as we hit the silver tsunami and more, you know, people are aging and needing those services. So definitely nursing. I know Melinda's really in need of home health aid. And I think, too, here in the North Country, I think in general, home health aids, we have a huge shortage of the home health aids. And, you know, Melinda can speak to the challenges of employing those home health aides and getting and recruiting them.
Right.
I mean, as Carrie mentioned, it's certainly been a challenge, you know, just based on where we are from an economic standpoint and the competitive wages of other entities within our community. You know, people at this point in time in their lives, they're looking for a way so that, you know, that they can be self-sustaining and You know, I think that also individuals need to think about the impact that they're making on the community. But certainly I have a need. I've had it. I have a need in every single county that we currently service, because it is endless. The need for home care will continue. And I think that over the course of the next several years, it will continue to increase as well. One thing I wanted to make mention of is the fact that we do offer several different classes for individuals within our community. So if anyone is a CNA, we offer a one-day transitional class to become a home health aide. We also offer a personal care assistant upgrade class, which is a one-week class. And then additionally, we just instituted in the last year a core class. So that's essentially taking individuals within our community that have pretty limited experience with caring for individuals in their home. And we're bringing them in and we are educating them on all different aspects of healthcare, comorbidities, body systems, and then we get into the nitty-gritty of the skills and how do we properly take care of these individuals? How do we transfer them into a wheelchair? How do we put them into a Hoyer lift? And all of those educational components are done by a registered nurse. So at the end of this core class training, which is a three-week training, the individual would get a certification to become a home health aide. So we have these advancements and opportunities for people to really start, you know, caring for individuals in our community and actively looking for people who want to, you know, continue to do that and have that positive impact.
Well, that's one thing that I was thinking about as you were describing kind of the services that are provided, is that there would be people who would think, well, I would certainly love to help and, you know, an elderly person in my community with this kind of thing, but I don't necessarily want to go through the entire process of medical school to get there. And it sounds like this is a pathway for somebody who kind of fits that description, that, you know, you don't have to know, you know, all sorts of things outside of just being able to provide these services.
And I would say a large portion of our recruitment efforts most recently have been through our core class applicants. So identifying those individuals that may have helped their grandfather or may have helped their aunt or went through a significant, you know, issue with their family and was actively involved. Those individuals know what it's like to care for someone in need. And if they have that continued desire, those are the individuals that I want, the passionate ones, the individuals that have been in that situation before.
I was going to say, maybe the top attribute would be you have to have a caring and good heart.
Very true.
Right?
Yes.
Seems to be. Okay. Ben, did you have any other
I guess the only other thing that came to mind was when Joe was talking a bit about his knees last year. It made me think that we talked a little bit about, do you ever encounter cases where somebody, for a variety of reasons, might feel like, oh, well, home health care, I don't need home health care, you know, I'm with my injury, you know, I don't rise to the level of needing, quote, home health care, but then they can, you know, it could be a service. Do you ever find that?
We do. Sometimes there'll be this misconception, oh, my daughter helps me, or you know, maybe they haven't because they have someone there helping them. But, you know, we provide another level of coming with that clinical expertise and providing that education and, you know, having the therapist there in your home to help you. So, again, you should have probably really called us because we're going to help you out.
That's what and, I was and thinking. Supply. You got supplies.
And, you know, when I first started in home care, they tried to keep total knee joints a limit of 5 days in the hospital. Now we are having calls from orthopedic offices scheduling us to come out because they're a single day. they'll go in, have the surgery, they're discharged the same day.
Oh, yeah.
Again, getting the patients up and moving and mobile, preventing, you know, blood clots,
yeah.
blood clots, and being in the hospital exposed to, you know, any other types of infections, because, again, that's where all the sick people go.
Yes.
So the sooner, you know, people can get out and home and mobile, outcome-wise, they do much better.
Yes.
And, you know, from a home care perspective, patients do just as well, if not better, recouping and recovering and improving their mobility in home as they do going to even a rehab facility, sometimes more so in a home care setting, because again, it's very individualized care, and you do have that one-on-one. There's not a group exercise. It's very patient focused
in a comfortable setting.
Yes, in your home.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Are you both based in the Plattsburgh area?
I'm born and raised in the North Country.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Good. Okay, so if somebody's interested, how can they contact you?
So if someone's interested in employment, they can, our website is hcrhealth.com, and they can go through there for careers. There's also our phone number is on there. But if they want to make a referral, I brought the number because I rarely remember it off the top of my head, because it's just not my area that I usually have to call the phone number. It's a 1-800-270-4904. So if somebody wants to make a referral, again, that's 1-800-270-4904. And anybody can refer, even a neighbor. They're, you know, if they have somebody that they're taking care of, their neighbor, and they feel someone really could utilize some help, they can call. And if that patient gives us permission, we can call their physician and see if that's someone who would qualify. And we'll do the work on our end to see if you know, they have their insurance says, yes, you can. And their doctor says, sure, we'll sign home care orders. We'll do the legwork on our end. It can be a family member. Can be the patient themselves. Okay. Most times we get the referrals from a hospital or a physician office, but we do have people call on their behalf, or family members, caregivers calling on patient behalf as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And for those interested in a career in home health care.
Yep, that would be the
same thing.
HCRhealth.com. And when you go to that website, there is a tab that says careers, and they can apply there. They can also can even call the number I mentioned and can get to our HR department. They can, if they're looking for something on the certified home care side, because they're a nurse or a therapist, they can ask for me specifically, Carrie Charette. And if they're looking for a home health aid opportunity or core class, interested in a core class or one of the other transition classes, they can reach out to Melinda Clark. Again, that number is 1-800-270-4904, and they will be transferred to one of us.
Okay, great. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about that we didn't touch on? Feel free.
I really appreciate you having us and you know, having this opportunity to speak about home care, because as I mentioned, it is very much a well kept secret in all of our communities. I think a lot of times there's confusion about, you know, home care, nursing and therapy versus what's available for our aides to provide services. So I, you know, thank you very much for having us.
Agreed. And thank you. This is a great opportunity for us to talk about what we have to offer our community, and we certainly appreciate the opportunity.
No, we're happy to have you. As we said, this is it's a vital service, and most people who live, you go through life, at some point you're going to need some type of health care. So it is important to everybody, and we're happy to have you guys on, and we'll keep our eyes and ears open on the home health care field. Like I said, I remember covering it more than 10 years ago when the county sold the license, and it's a big deal, so it's nice to see this company doing well in our region. I drive by on US Avenue. You guys are over on the old
base, right? We are. We're on the right? old, yep, on the old bases, on the oval, yep.
Yeah, I see the sign when I drive by. And the other thing I remember is I was born and raised in Rochester. So right. It's a Rochester business. So I thought, oh, okay. All right. But anyhow, Carrie, Melinda, thank you both for being here. We're glad to have you.
Thank you. Come back
again anytime. And Ben, where can people listen to this?
Yes, people can listen to this. Well, the best place to go is presspublican.com. You can find it around the homepage there. You can also find it on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts. Practically everyone gets all their podcasts. So,
any final thoughts from you?
No, again, thank you so much. Yeah, as you said, Joe, episode 85, milestone episode.
Yes.
So.
we're very glad to have you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And thanks, everybody, for listening to the Press Republican Press Pass podcast. Until next time, we wish everybody a little weak side health. We'll be right back.